All right, you're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford. This is Soundtrack of Your Life, and I just had the music on there. Sorry about that. I've got a very special guest here today. What mic are you on there?
I'm on mic 3.
You're on mic 3, so I'm going to get our good friend Truett up on here in just a second. All right, so you're on mic 3.
Yeah.
There we go. Truett, do you want to say hi to the world?
Hi, this is Truett Killian talking into mic 3 at the station right now.
So, fun fact about Truett. I just met Truett last night.
It's a very fun fact, Dan.
That is a fun fact. And now I have him interviewing on my show, so this is really spontaneous, and I'm really excited right now.
All right.
Now we're broadcasting on live air together.
Broadcasting on live radio waves. Radio waves?
Radio waves? I don't know. Is it a wave? Or is it a
particle?
Depends
on how the show goes. I don't know.
We're going to take a second of awkward silence. All right, now we're going to play the medley from Lethal Weapon.
Sounds fantastic.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back. knocking on heaven's door. On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rings. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. Into the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la. After 2 days in the desert sun, my skin began to turn red. And after 3 days in the desert fun, I was looking at a riverbed. And the story it told of a river that flowed made me sad to think it was dead. You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la. The horse run free, 'cause the desert had turned to sea. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rings. The ocean is a desert with its life underground and a perfect disguise above. Under the cities lies a heart made of ground, but the humans will give no love. You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La 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 la.
Rod Cole kicking it live.
Now we have Truett with a public service announcement about public health.
You see, I just got off the third longest no-shower streak of my life. The first longest was 17 days, and that was 2 years ago on a hiking trip. I had an excuse.
Yeah, totally.
The second longest was 6 days, and that was during my orientation trip, which was in the wilderness while I was canoeing, so that's another excuse. This time, it was only a 50-hour streak of no-showering, but I have nothing to account for this other than laziness. So let me walk you through what happens. 3 p.m. Tuesday, I go to work out, and it's a good workout, and I shower immediately afterwards. And so that night, I stay up pretty late doing homework. Once I finished, I walked around campus, and then I go to sleep. And I'm very cold at night, so I put on all my covers, and when I wake up, I'm all sweaty and I'm nasty, but I don't want to waste water because I just showered the day before. And so I go to class, I'm stinking. And it's not just like, oh, I feel gross, like I could smell it, and when it's at the point that I can smell myself, I know that like my fumes that are like exuding are being noticed by my classmates. But at the same time, I feel like education and applying my mind is more important than like applying my hygiene. So I went through the rest of the day, and once the day is over, I went to eat, but I wasn't eating with other people, so I didn't particularly feel the obligation to cleanse myself. And so I was eating dinner while smelling bad too. And then that night, I thought, well, I need to shower. I frankly smell disgusting, but I didn't. So it'd been 24 hours at that point, and I was so tired, and I was just kind of thinking about life that I didn't shower. And then the next morning I woke up sweaty again, and it wasn't just like sweat from one night. It was the sweat from the other night compiled and sticking to the sweat from the other night. And it was like two different odors that were commingling just in my nasal passages. And I'm sure everyone's olfactory senses around were just cringing, I would say is the word to use in this case. But then I reasoned, I work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But this week I shifted it. So it was Thursday, and I was going to work out at 3 p.m. So I didn't want to shower, put on new clothes, wear them for 3 hours, then work out, and then have to throw those clothes away because they'd be dirty. I didn't want to like waste. And one of the big things I've noticed up here, they don't want you to waste. Like, they don't let you dry your hands at Tufts. That's one of the big things I'm sure the listeners have noticed. It's well, like, politics are very important here. In the Green Party, they have a particularly strong presence here. And so what Jill Stein has done is she's effectively taken the hand towels and the hand dryers, not even just the towels and the paper towels, but all the hand dryers, because for some reason, drying your hands is bad for the environment. And so I was going off this modal logic. And so I finally showered after my, I worked out and then I ate because I always try and eat after my workouts, but I still smelled. And then I sat on my floor because I didn't want to make my bed smell any worse. And then around 7 p.m., I showered. So it must have been about a 52-hour period where I didn't shower. And it wasn't particularly difficult to happen. So I'm just warning everyone out there, if you're listening, please be sure to maintain your hygiene, because those around you will notice days before you do.
Yeah.
So Dan, when's the last time you showered?
I showered this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
With soap?
Yeah, the whole nine yards, shampoo.
So what's that smell?
I think that's you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
But the hair's still good.
Hair's still good. Well, the other thing is, like, if you put water in your hair, if you have short hair, you can look put together without smelling put together. And, like, I'm not a particularly hairy person, that I just have hair on my head. And so for me to look put together, I really just have to put on, like, a mildly non-wrinkly shirt and brush my hair. And it looks like, even if it doesn't smell like I've showered, like, from a distance, you'd say, oh, that's true of Killian. I'll bet he showered today. And so I can put on this mask of a fake hygiene and just kind of trick those around me into thinking that my standards of cleanliness are up to a bar, to a standard that they really aren't. And so I found myself not necessarily lacking all the time, but there's periods in time wherever my mind becomes so occupied with other things that I don't wash. It's like towels. When do you use a towel?
When do you use a towel? When you shower.
When you shower.
Yeah.
See, for the longest time, I refused to wash my wash towels because.
Oh, no.
But if you think logically, if the only time you ever use a towel is after you've showered, you're clean.
Yeah.
So just like logically, the towel has no reason to be dirty. And so for the longest time, to like conserve, I don't know, I guess conserve laundry detergent, I just wouldn't wash my towels. And I noticed the smell after a while, because somehow, science can't explain it, but somehow the towels still do get dirty. But it's just kind of an interesting way in which smells perpetrate themselves into our lives. And there's just, they're unseen, but smells go wherever you go.
Yeah.
You can't hide from your true smells.
Yeah, your smells are your smells.
My smells are my smells.
You own your smells, but I can smell them. And if you haven't showered, I really appreciate it if you all shower out there.
Well,
so public service announcement is, you know, if you're sensitive to smell, stay away from Truitt, because...
but the other thing is, like, when I see your face, I say, that's Dan Meyer, and I identify you by your face.
Yeah.
But what if you were behind me and I had to identify you? Like, I just... The only things I would have open, if you didn't say anything, I wouldn't hear you. My only sense of feel would be my olfactory sense, and so I just have to smell you. And so whenever people cover up their scents with deodorant and shampoo and all these surfactants, it almost hides our identities from each other. And I think we need to, as a group of people, we need to be able to identify each other based on our smells, based on our sights, based on our personalities, based on our ideas, and based on our thoughts. I think as far as becoming an interconnected species, that's more important than anything we can dream of. And so while Dan might come on the opposition, he might be playing devil's advocate and saying how important it is for you to shower. But on the other hand, I feel that your friends, they'll be able to recognize you and almost learn more about you in your true natural animalistic sense if you do let your scent become its true self. I think you have to let it develop. I think people, I'm not even joking.
I wonder how much that depends on like how much you eat or like what you eat, right? Like, whether, like, what you eat affects how you smell, or if that's more just like
I think
genetically,
as far as,
like your natural odor is.
I think your overall health impacts the amount you sweat and almost the quality of your sweat.
Mm.
And I think if you drink a lot of water, it'll have more, I mean, more water in your sweat, so it'll smell more dilute. But I think in general, I think your scent is just individual. I'm not trying to get into the argument of nature versus nurture, but I thoroughly believe that the scent that you emanate comes from your nature and that it's just, it's innate within you.
Interesting.
And I think people are just afraid to be themselves. We have these like societal constructs of what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to sound like. And the one we don't talk about is what we're supposed to smell like. And the corporations, what they do is they just sell you this product. They say, if you smell like a human does naturally, that's disgusting. And we hide from our humanism and we hide from our animalistic tendencies by washing ourselves. I don't smell like laundry detergent. I don't smell like shampoo. I don't smell like soap. I smell like a human being. And see, the corporations, they get so caught up in their profits that they try and sell you these surfactants, these cleansers that you don't need. They don't make you closer in touch with yourself. If anything, it's just distancing you from your further humans. And I think you can say, oh, but we relate in that we share these products. We all share the deodorant. We all use Mitchum's or things like that.
Mm.
But you're just diluting each other. You're not relating to each other as people. You're relating to each other as consumers on a capitalistic plane, which I just think is ultimately destructive to our plan of existence.
See, but the problem there is actually capitalism.
Capitalism is not a problem, Dan. Don't listen to them when they say that. Your eyebrows are raising? Don't get me started. Let's go.
My mustache is dancing.
Your mustache is dancing.
I'm doing Movember as a point of reference.
I was doing Movember, but I have this problem with, it's kind of like the hygiene thing where if I don't shave, I just have the tendency to pick out my hairs once they get to a certain length. So like my facial hair is just patchy naturally. It's not like it's naturally patchy. And then I like create new patches wherever my hands happen to go.
Interesting.
So I just, it's, well, I don't support prostate cancer because it's killed some of my relatives, but like
I'm not supporting.
Is it the whole point of Movember to support prostate cancer? I'm not for that.
No, so that the whole point, so there's a whole organization behind it, actually.
It's
called like the Movember Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's just to advocate for men's health, just generally. So,
oh, so it's like advocating against...
Yeah, it's against prostate cancer.
Oh, I'm thoroughly against prostate cancer. I guess when I shaved the other day, I was doing it.
For raising awareness.
It's for raising, okay.
But, like, also, like, some of the other things, some of the cool things, like, on a more serious note here, like, some of the other things that they do is, support for, like, raising awareness and raising money for research in, like, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and also men's mental health, so.
Oh, that's really
what I'm sort of doing is going around talking about how, like, there's a lot of stigma against men's mental health.
Yeah.
So I'm using the mustache as a way of, like, getting people to...
To question your mental health?
Yeah.
I love it. I say rock the mustache. No, I really do get that. And I think that...
Just like you do the body odor thing, right?
Yeah, well,
I feel like it's very similar.
Spreading awareness of our humanity, and I do see that.
Yeah.
The other thing I've noticed, though, is like awareness is fantastic, but I have friends who would label themselves as activists, whereas all they do is share articles on Facebook and think that that makes them morally better than other people. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Yeah.
But that, to me, makes people very, very interesting characters in that I can share Facebook articles just as much as you can, but if we're just sitting at home on our computers, I think you and I, despite our intentions, are accomplishing the same amount in the global plane.
But what if I share my Facebook article with more people than you do? Then am I accomplishing more, or...?
Depends on the quality of the people.
Or the quality of the article?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to open your article, because if I see Dan Meyer share an article, I just say, huh.
Thanks.
Interesting. That's the title of the article. I'll bet that's all I need to know. And see, I have a theory that 90% of articles that get shared on Facebook aren't even read. It's just the titles that people agree with, which is... It's an interesting time we live in, but I feel like the title of your article is more important than anything it says, because we don't have the attention span to read. Or the ability, I don't know. You just...
No, I think we have the ability. I think people are just lazy, right? And, like, if you're on Facebook scrolling through, like, oh, look at that header, you know? Like, it could be an onion thing, right? And I'm pretty sure someone would just, like, read it and say, like, oh, wow, that happened. I'm sure that comes up in conversation from
time to time.
Well,
I always think the internet should usher in this age of better information, in that we have all of this information at our fingertips, and I think people should really imbibe themselves with it, but... I think people have a tendency of just moving faster and faster as opposed to moving more in depth with these topics.
See, but if you move faster, then you can get more cat pictures. Well, and I think that's really what the internet cares about, you know?
That is, it's all about the memes. There's a,
it's really all about the
there's
memes.
There's a Fall Out Boy, that song that predicted it, the Thanks for the Memories, but it's spelled differently. And I think that, yeah. I think what happened was Panic at the Disco just foreshadowed the meme movement in 2003.
Really? You said Fall Out Boy first
It's
time.
The same band.
No.
Oh.
No. No,
is
no.
That, is that controversial?
Oh, I don't care.
The most true things are also the most controversial things. You shouldn't shower. Don't let the corporations dictate your behavior.
All right, everyone. You heard it right from the horse's mouth. Don't shower. But actually, please do.
Well, shower. Just you don't have to use the washes that they provide for you. I think that that's just... That's propaganda and that's false advertising that just... It sells you a product you don't actually need. And I think that's overall destructive in life.
Yeah. Consumerism, man.
Consumerism.
And on that note, we're going to play a song about a man who always smells good. His natural body odor smells like...
Cherry wood.
Cherry wood. And cherries. And love and kittens.
And sweat.
A little bit of sweat, but not that much.
Yeah.
Here it is. Thank you. All right, we just heard two of some of the most, I'd say, epic pieces of classical music in the past 100 years or so. Or, yeah.
They'll live on.
They'll live on. But, or 200? Yeah. Richard Strauss was...
Time is relative.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. It's all invented. Besides, can't trust it.
Yeah. So the what you heard was the main theme from Superman first by John Williams, and then also Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss, which is a commentary on Nietzsche's book with the same title.
He must be very inarticulate if he has no words. Just his entire commentary is sounds. I feel like I can make commentaries out. What's your commentary on urban migration patterns?
Urban migration patterns.
And then you just make sounds. I feel like that's a very inarticulate way of speaking your opinions.
But
I
it's,
feel like
it's not that, right? Because so music just has so much more articulation, I'd say. But I mean, I guess if you're...
Yeah, I guess if you
if you're looking at it this literally,
if you wrote that in an essay, though, you'd look like an idiot. Like, bum bum, your teacher would not respond well.
How would you write that in an essay?
My articulation or just that song we just heard?
How would you write that song in an essay?
Well, I would just hit text to speech and I'd just start talking and
text
I'd sing
to
the
speech
song.
Or speech to text.
Text. You're right, speech to text.
And see what happens.
And then see what happens.
I kind of want to try that.
That would be. Turn it in for your next paper. You won't.
After the show, I think I'm going to try that. I think I'm going to play, Thus Spake Zarathustra with the speech-to-text thing going on.
I think you should.
Yeah. But anyways, so, I don't know, I'm getting all stressed out about this this upcoming election here.
The city council?
I don't know. No, the national one.
Oh.
You know, that one. You know, the one that people are, kind of
caring about?
Yeah.
Oh.
That one.
I've been following that.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, can you bring me up to speed on what's been going on? Because, I kind of live under a rock, you know?
Listen
to music all
the
day.
The news media.
Sit on my computer.
What they don't want you to, what they don't want to tell you. Hillary Clinton is an actor. Donald Trump is also an actor.
Well, yeah, of course.
And there's no politics. Like, politics don't actually exist. When people are elected, it doesn't actually change the political system we reside in. All that politicians are is actors. And you could go on the plane and just say, wow, these actors are distracting us from what's really important. It's not even that. The system of government you have that you've learned about in school doesn't actually exist. We're actually just funneling into the news media. And see, whenever you watch TV, whenever you participate politically, you're actually just selling them ad revenue. Because the more people that watch their shows, the more people that politic, the more money they get.
The more people that...
It's all a big controversy. It's all a big conspiracy. See, if Hillary's elected... If Johnson's elected, if Trump's elected, if Stein's elected, if that other guy's elected...
I sure hope it's Jill Stein.
Well, Jill Stein's the likely forerunner at this point, but nothing's going to change. It's all just about ad revenue, and that's what they don't want you to know. It's like, if we go back to 2000, do you recall 2000?
I remember 2000. I think...
See, the big thing about 2000 is there was a tie, right? No, the Electoral College picked a different candidate than the national national election. And see, what happened was they basically called Al Gore out on his misgivings. You see, Al Gore, he's not even a politician nor an actor. The only reason Al Gore was in the race was to sell DVDs. You see, he came up with this movie. He came up with this movie called something about global warming. I'm losing the...
An inconvenient truth.
But the thing is, that's made up. Al Gore single-handedly invented science to trick us into buying DVDs. I'm telling you, if you read up on it, there's no mention of science in any academic journals past the year 2000. I wrote an essay about this, but I left it back in Texas, because most of my essays are in Texas.
Of course.
But... Most
of my exes are in Texas.
Well, that's true for me too, but that's just because I lived in Texas for a while. And some of them got sent back home, but that's a different story.
Interesting.
So let me ask you.
Yeah.
You're sitting in your room, and then all of a sudden, people come out and they just saran wrap it, right? And then someone lights your fire alarm on fire.
And so then the sprinklers come, and your room just starts filling with fire, and you start to drown. But that's not all. Then a squid comes, and the squid, like, squids on up to your face, and it latches its tentacles all around you, and it squeezes you. You have to make squid chowder using everything that's in your room. But keep in mind, you're drowning, and you're quite wet at this point. What do you do? You have 5 minutes.
Shoot, this is... I wasn't expecting this type of question on the interview.
Yeah, you're not
going
to expect a squid to come on your head either, but yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah, yeah, no, I wouldn't expect the squid. So, I mean, the first thing that I would do is... there's a sperm whale that lives in my closet. So, obviously, I would go get him first. And since I'm drowning, you know, he can swim. So, the more water there is, the better for the sperm whale.
Yeah.
And as you know, like, this isn't a giant squid, correct?
Right, no, it's...
So it's not a giant squid, right? And the sperm whale can fight the giant squid, right? So
yeah.
So imagine the sperm whale against just a regular squid, you know? It's just going to take it out. And then, I mean, since it's my sperm whale, like, it's going to be able to take me away to safety, you know?
Your sperm is going to save you.
I mean, yeah, my whale will save me.
Fantastic.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's sort of how it works.
That's it. That's
just
it.
Like Al Gore's DVDs sort of saved him after he lost that election.
It's all a racket. No one actually wants to make
you better.
Wait,
so are you trying to claim that Trump's actually just trying to sell Trump steaks?
Well, yes, in part.
Oh, I knew it. I shouldn't have bought all those steaks.
Well, there's no such thing as a bad steak.
But there's such thing as a Trump steak, and I think that's, like, just as bad, you know?
Yeah. But you know what's better or worse than a Trump steak?
What?
A mistake. It's like a cow's wife.
Ba-dum-tsh. Yeah, you're a bit of a comedian there, aren't you?
Well, I say things that make people roll their eyes, and at the end of the day, that's all we can do.
Yeah, but we can't see our listeners roll their eyes, so is that really satisfactory?
I can feel it, and I'd like to give a shout-out. Can I give a shout-out?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to shout-out to my friend Hannah Sadocker and Scott Fitchin. I know you're on the air listening, and I hope you roll your eyes very hard. See, this summer, I actually learned a lot. I don't know if you work. Do you guys have jobs up here?
Do we have jobs up here?
I don't know. I don't know. But I worked at a crematorium this summer. And I would highly recommend the experience of working at a crematorium.
Why?
Because I earned quite a lot.
Really? I would guess so, right? Like, because who really wants to do that?
I don't know. Morticians?
But
weirdos?
Yeah, probably weirdos, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you just really like putting makeup on dead people, I feel like that's a pretty good outlet to do so.
I feel like some like hardcore metal bands would be pretty good at that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, like you could have a band like Mayhem or something.
Okay,
like,
let me ask you a real question, Dan.
Do something like productive. Yeah.
When's the last time you pooped yourself?
This is a honest question. Lot. This is on live. This is
when's the last time you
broadcast?
Pooped? I'll tell my story. What? You tell your story.
I frankly don't remember.
Okay. As Dan is refusing to admit to us the last time he pooped himself, I will happily indulge
y'all. I was not expecting
the story of the last time I pooped myself. You see, this is a true story. I was in the eighth grade, and I was on a pseudo... I mean, it's not really a date in eighth grade, but I was kind of on a date with this girl. But it's the eighth grade, so obviously a chaperone comes with us. And we're going to see the most romantic movie in my repertoire, Smurfs 2.
Oh, so romantic.
And so I go up, and then I realize, wow, my bowels and my, what's the thing you put pee in? My pee bag is full. And so I go to the bathroom, and I'm sitting at the urinal, and then just then I have the urge to throw up, and then the urge to fart. And I didn't see them as related, and so I just kind of like... I relaxed my sphincter and I let it out, but instead of just like gases escaping from my rectum, just a slew of excrement went all over my pants, all over my underwear. And so I rushed on into the stall and I took my underwear off, I took my pants off, and my underwear are beyond saving. I just flushed them down the toilet, but my pants... No, I'm just telling you, like, I'm telling
all
it
right,
like it
right.
is.
Yeah, 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 sure.
But the thing is, my pants were filthy, but you can't just go into the movie theater without pants. They'll send you to jail for that. So I'm standing
during
there.
Smurfs 2.
During the Smurfs 2. So I'm standing there at the sink, and this is like a big bathroom with like multiple stalls, and I'm standing there in the sink, like half naked, washing it off, and just then the door opens, and it's her dad, the chaperone.
Yeah.
And he just locks eyes at me, like raises his eyebrows down just to say, I hate you, and then leaves. And we never spoke about this again, but I can't say there was a second date with this girl. So the moral of the story is, if you're going to watch the Smurfs 2 in the eighth grade, make sure your sphincter is tight. Now,
thank you for
a
that.
Related note. When's the last when's the last time you were the unwitting victim of an enema?
Of
legit
what?
Question of an enema. When's the last time you accidentally had an enema?
An enema?
Yeah.
I feel like we're just...
No, I'm going to tell you a story, Dan. Is that all right?
I feel like we're making the listeners a little uncomfortable here.
I think you're wrong. I think you have to give the people what they want, and what they want is the truth. And this is a true, gritty story that tells more about me than anything. May I tell this story?
If you must.
So, I was in Mexico this summer, and I was at a water park. And the thing is, the infrastructure in this Mexican water park was not quite up to speed. I don't think it's what we would say up to code in America. And so there's this one slide, and the guy, he tells me to cross my legs, but I don't speak Spanish particularly well, so I didn't catch it. So my legs are just, they're apart, and I'm going down the slide, and there's probably a quarter inch of water on this slide. It's more like a tarp in concrete. Like, it's not even a slide.
Yeah.
But then I realize at the bottom of the slide, it becomes flat, and you keep sliding. But then you're in a 12-inch pool of water. And
12.
So the velocity, what happens is I'm sliding down, and, like, the velocity of it, I'm just suddenly hit with, like, a rush of water just into my innards. And I wasn't... Another problem, my sphincter wasn't as tight as it should have been at this time,
man.
Again. And so... I accidentally evacuated my bowels into this Mexican water slide.
Oh,
and
God.
So
well, I mean, it's already in the water.
Left,
yeah.
But I'm just warning you, the key to not getting poop in unwanted places is a tight sphincter. And you need to work on that, Dan.
I think we've
That's
made
my
that,
best advice for
I,
you.
I think we've made that point clear to our listeners.
Listeners, you heard it from me. You can quote me on that.
All
but
right.
Cite it right, or it's plagiarism.
Yeah,
don't be one of those
just make
guys.
Make sure you get the correct format and everything.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that
note, Dan has
fantastic.
Just been enlightened.
I've just been completely enlightened.
Moment of truth.
Yeah.
Honesty.
I've seen the light.
Yeah.
I've seen the light. You know. I've learned all about, you know, keeping tight sphincters.
And I think, other than a squatting accident this year at the gym, I think that's the last
squatting. I don't even want to hear.
Yeah,
about
you
that.
Don't.
Yeah,
but that's like, the last. That's the last story of that note.
Oh, that's okay. Unfortunate. Yeah, you should work on tightening those muscles. You know, you can work them out. And,
I know.
Maybe I don't know. Anyways, we're gonna listen to some Marvin Gaye. I feel like that's fitting.
Enjoy.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
some Marvin Gaye, and now I'm sure it's got some jokes for you.
Well, I would like to take 1 minute just to ask everyone, on account of Rachel Wolf, would everyone go to the civic debate tonight at 7 p.m.? It's going to be fantastic, it's going to be political, and it's going to be filthy, and I highly recommend it. But
filthy.
I was thinking, one of the nicest gestures I think you can do for another human being is just bringing that person breakfast in bed. But the thing is, yeah. Dan, you have to be careful, because it doesn't work if you've never met the person before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's... Did you hear, I was reading an article in Somerville, did you hear about the, there was a working girl, a call girl who got arrested, but before this, she ate way too many beans. I don't know if you heard about this, but...
No, I haven't.
They say that she couldn't stop prostituting. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No.
But the thing is, the thing they don't want to tell you, you know what they don't want to tell you, Dan?
What is this, Stuart?
Well, you know how they say recycling's all good?
Yeah.
Think about it this way. I'm going to deductively blow your mind.
Okay, please do.
Say you're drinking, what's your soda of choice?
My soda of choice, let's say Dr. Pepper.
Okay. It's a lot of high fructose corn syrup, but let's say Dr. Pepper. So you drink this Dr. Pepper, and you're drinking it, and you throw it away in the recycling bin because you're responsible, Dan.
Oh, of course.
But say, for instance, instead of it being recycled into a fork or, I don't know, a hat for a dolphin, what if it gets recycled into a gun? What if that gun kills a world leader? Then your recycling, it's gone awry. And not only are you responsible for that, but you essentially killed whoever that gun killed.
Yeah, but what if that world leader was something really bad? And then I did something good, right?
Well, that's the thing, though. You have the potential to do really good things with your recycling, but there's also just the unseen ramification of killing, I don't know, what if you killed Batman with your recycling? I'm trying to think of someone who's uncontroversially a fantastic person, and I think Batman fits the bill.
I guess so, but...
Who's someone else unarguably a fantastic person? Anthony Monaco. What if you killed Anthony Monaco with this recycled gun? I don't think anyone would say that's a good thing.
No. Yeah, I think no one would say
that. So in that sense, just be careful what you recycle.
And be careful with recycling.
Yeah. Well, and then the same thing, like, if you're a really good DJ, like, I'm assuming you're a really good DJ, I'm listening to your show right now, but, like, if you're, like, this awesome DJ and you're, like, breaking records left and right, you might get fired.
Maybe.
So let me ask you, hypothetically, how many grapes do you think you could fit in your mouth? Red, like, or green,
ten,
too? Ten green? Ten red?
Ten, well, I think it's about the same for either.
Uh-huh. It's a mentality, though.
I feel like with the green ones, I feel like it might be easier to get in there.
Well, I could fit several hundred raisins in my mouth. I'm not only confident of that, I've proven that. See,
really?
I don't say no to a challenge or many things, but the other day someone was just questioning my ability to fit an absurd amount of raisins in my mouth. And let me tell you, I fit quite an absurd amount of raisins in my mouth. And I enjoyed it. The problem is, though, whenever you fit a lot of food in your mouth, it's easy to fit it in. But then swallowing that amount of food without throwing up is more difficult. I can't say I can swallow an absurd amount of raisins without throwing up, but I can fit said quantity of raisins into my mouth comfortably.
That's good to know. And on that note, we're running out of time here, Truett. But I wanted to thank you.
I want to thank you, Dan.
For coming on my show. It's been a pleasure to interview
I'll
you.
I'll clean it up later.
Please do. Yeah, it's a little gross in here, so just... clean it up.
Yeah.
I will. Anyways, up next, we've got a nice song, and then we've got a whole hour of indie.
Good night, Somerville.
Good night,
and Santiago.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day. the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah. When I'm looking in your eyes, I'm not sure if you're still with me. What is it that's on your mind? Let's make it a